Hello and welcome to Dealcast from Merger Market, the podcast that gives you essential news, data and analysis from around the globe. I'm Juliana Needham. This week, the US government threatened tariffs on goods imported from three key trading partners. But 24 hours later, it was announced that it would wait 30 days before introducing tariffs for two of those countries, Mexico and Canada. Meanwhile, China has been hit by 10% tariffs on all its imports to the US. So where does all this leave cross-border deal-making? To find out, I'm joined by Ruben Miller, who is the Global Chief Regulatory Editor. Hi, Ruben. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Juliana.
So we are recording this on Tuesday, the 4th of February. There have been some last minute changes overnight when it comes to tariffs being imposed on goods into the US from Canada and Mexico, with a 30-day delay to those. But there are 10% tariff on goods imported from China. Could you talk through what might be the impact on M&A in relation to those countries that Trump has targeted?
Sure, absolutely. And I think the impact on M&A is going to be multifold. But a lot of the deal-watching community in the U.S. and globally really expected a resurgence of merger activity. And the tariffs themselves didn't catch the world totally by surprise. We knew some form of these was going to be imposed by the Trump administration. He had talked about that all through the campaign season. So there was a lot of buzz in the deal-making community. And one of the thoughts here is that for the countries that have been targeted especially, and we may see more in the coming weeks and months, but especially in this first round targeting these three countries, Canada, Mexico, and China, the thought was that some of the firms, some of the companies that are involved in the supply chain may try to purchase assets, you know, continue with deal-making activities in the U.S. so that they can circumvent those tariffs. And, you know, again, that's mostly supply chain oriented, but we're looking at manufacturing and extraction industries, things along those lines. So along with a kind of general M&A resurgence, there was a thought that these tariffs might actually force a lot of inbound M&A into the United States. That very, very well may continue apace. Though I think this might act to delay some of that activity, especially as we see overnight these changes that, is it going to be 30 days? Is it going to be 60 days? Is it going to be certain industries, certain sectors? I think that one of the impacts in the short term will be a delay on announcing deals, further due diligence, that kind of thing. But the data shows this, and scholars have looked at this to some degree. When there are tariffs between two countries, that elevates the level of cross-border M&A between those two countries. And I think long-term, that will play out.
Yeah, and I guess the challenge now, particularly as we've seen this week and last night, in fact, as you mentioned, there were just too many moving parts for anyone to make any decisions about anything.
That's right. From the Mexico perspective, from the Canada perspective, they've bought a reprieve. From China, that doesn't seem to be occurring. While the tariffs that Trump has imposed on China seem a little bit softer than maybe he was signaling during the campaign season and in the early parts of his administration, those do appear softer, and we have seen China retaliate with their own measures, but it's a little bit more measured than I think some folks expected. And this is a delicate dance that these two countries are doing, where these two countries being the U.S. and China, where they're kind of gauging each other's positions. How far will we go? How far won't we go? What will we target? How much pain are we willing to endure and inflict? With Canada and Mexico, we've seen early indications of I don't want to say capitulation, but they're clearly playing ball on a different level than we're seeing out of China. What I think is interesting about some of China's reactions here is that they're taking non-tariff retaliatory measures. And I think that is just fascinating to look at what they're doing, not on the tariff front. Clearly, we have seen tariffs on LNG, on coal products, certain other things, but they've also taken other measures like launching an antitrust investigation into Google, export controls on critical minerals that are necessary to produce some high-tech goods, and targeting other companies specifically. And I think that is interesting in the context of M&A as well, which, you know, I think you would probably like to bring this back to some M&A topics. But one of my concerns here, Juliana, is that with this proclivity to use non-tariff retaliatory measures in the trade war, we may see some deals that some cross-border deals that would need domestic approvals in these countries face some serious risk. And that may postpone the launching of these deals that our community was so excited about and may impact some pending deals. And we can talk more about that if you'd like.
Yeah, could you elaborate a bit more on the Google antitrust case? Because it's curious timing that that's been announced this week, or perhaps not.
It goes both ways. Merger Market, the company that I work for, broke news last week that China's antitrust regulator SAMR had opened an investigation into Apple. They had previously done that with NVIDIA. So, you know, there were indications that a Google probe was on the horizon. Timing it so perfectly with the tariff retaliation makes it clear that, yes, they will go after Google. They will go after specific American companies, especially national champions like NVIDIA and Apple and Google, to inflict pain on the U.S. And not to say that the U.S. doesn't have its own antitrust investigations into Google and Apple, right? So it's not totally out of the realm of possibility that these are legitimate investigations and would have been opened anyway. I think more so it's a way for China to get corporate actors to pressure their political representatives to back off on the tariffs that the U.S. government has inflicted.
So can you talk a bit about the deals that already have been announced and how these measures are affecting them?
Right. So there are certain deals that the merger arbitrage community specifically that looks for these big high-profile deals with publicly traded companies follows very, very closely. And we have historically seen those deals run into trouble with China's antitrust regulator. And sometimes that is seen as a politicized move. Sometimes it's just the natural flow of these regulatory reviews. But China specifically has shown a willingness to interfere with these deals to extort certain concessions, or if they plainly don't like the deal and don't want to see it go forward, we'll let it wither on the vine, or occasionally take proactive steps to block those deals. Historically, that has happened in some very, very high-profile matters for this community. NXP Semiconductors, Qualcomm is an example. Tower Semiconductors and Intel is another. The crop of deals that we're looking at now that require regulatory approval in China is not huge, but it exists. And there's a deal in particular that really jumped out at me as a delicate matter, especially in this environment of heightened tensions, which is Synopsys' acquisition of Ansys, which deals with some very high-tech products and systems that are used in a number of different technologies that the U.S. and China compete over. So we were entering this period, this era, with a lot of sensitivity around this deal. The trade war that Trump is waging has only heightened those tensions and made it, frankly, more likely that China is going to use the antitrust review process in that country to hold this deal up or extract painful concessions or let it wither on the vine.
Can you just clarify, those are both American companies, are they?
Those are both American companies, and joining them together would strengthen it as a singular player, which may or may not be in the interest of the United States, but one could surmise that, yes, this is an American company involved in the development of some very critical technologies, only getting stronger, that, you know, the logic would follow that may be in the interest of the United States government, and now China has a bite at that apple. And that's something that we're watching for a wide spectrum of deals, but that one in particular jumped out at me.
And I wonder if there'll be any impact on the kind of respect of jurisdiction and antitrust law, whether some countries will just ignore the outcome of antitrust reviews from other countries in this environment.
Yes, I think that's an interesting possibility. We're starting to get into that it's not the country, the state actor itself that has the power to do that, but in the merger agreements that the two parties craft together, will they do everything in their power to try and circumvent these regulatory regimes? Might there be some extra lawyering that goes into protecting a seller versus a buyer? And the specificity in that language, I could almost guarantee, will grow as we see these tensions ratchet up. There may be efforts in the future to close around jurisdictions that are becoming problematic, though for a deal like Ansys Synopsys and many of these global players that would be impacted by this, the Chinese market is often considered too big to close around.
Okay, and following on from that and kind of rounding everything up, what's the sentiment that you're hearing from your sources in Washington at the moment?
Well, I think there's a lot of talk about how much of this is bluster. How far is the Trump administration willing to go to achieve whatever aims, you know, an America First agenda? I think what we've seen just over the last 24 or 36 hours, where, you know, somewhat symbolic and minor concessions are met with these reprieves, I think there's some thought that this is a negotiating tool and will harm U.S. markets. And the quicker that Trump can get whatever mitigation from the countries that he has targeted in, whether they be far-reaching and material and really constructive, or simply symbolic, I think there is a lot of talk around how fast can we get out of this thing? How fast will Trump say, okay, you've put up enough, you've come to the table, that works for me? And I don't think anyone's really clear on where that level stands, where the threshold is to say enough is enough, let's go back to a system that has been deployed for many, many years. And I think just the willingness to wage the trade war is planting a flag of sorts, right? I think that is a symbolic maneuver that Trump is doing. Whatever comes of this and whatever measures must be taken for us to exit the war, I think it is setting a tone that is reverberating around Washington.
Great. Well, that's a good point to end it on, Ruben. It feels like things will change more in the coming weeks and months, so I'm sure we'll speak again. But thank you very much. Good to talk to you. That was Ruben Miller, the Global Chief Regulatory Editor. And just to point out, we're recording this on Tuesday, the 4th of February. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the show, please follow it and give us a rating and review. If you'd like to find out more about what we've been talking about on this episode, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.